thank you for downloading this Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire podcast. And as a special thank you for you, we've got a special deal just for you. Beer 52 shipped themed monthly boxes of small batch craft beer straight to your door. You can get £10 off a case of 8 delicious exclusive craft beers selected to your preferences and the award-winning Ferment magazine and a snack using our code PROPER at beer52.com. So you get 8 exclusive hand-selected beers this month. It's Norwegian craft beers. The 100-page Ferment magazine and a snack, free next-day delivery, and flexible monthly subscription. All that for £14 in your first month at beer52.com.
If it's good, we'll tell you. If it's rubbish, we'll tell you. This is Radio Yorkshire, the only place for honest opinions on the greatest game.
Joining us on the line now is the coach of Hull FC, Lee Radford. Lee, very good afternoon to you. And first of all, congratulations on a great win yesterday against the Wigan Warriors. What did you make of that performance from your lads there yesterday?
Yeah, obviously, phenomenal effort. You know, having watched it back and reviewed it, two unbelievable efforts from two very depleted teams. But fortunately, you know, we got off to a fantastic start. You know, managed to hold on to that in the second period for areas of the game, you know, for period of the game, I suppose, where it looked like Wigan was you know, really going to liven up and make it a real contest.
And especially after, you know, three defeats in a row, it must have been very pleasing to get back to winning ways, especially, as you say, with a depleted squad.
Yeah, look, Monday was Monday was full of effort and endeavour and people working for each other, but in terms of execution, Monday was a little bit short and naive probably in some of our decision making as well during the game. So, you know, we knew if we could turn up with the same amount of effort yesterday and fix those other two areas up, that you know, we'd give ourselves a real chance, and that's exactly what we did.
Obviously, we just heard from Daryl Powell there about the double weekend and for yourself as well. Obviously, back-to-back games, trying to manage a squad with injuries. Are they trying to hamstring you as a coach? Obviously, it's a difficult enough job already.
Yeah, no, look, it's they actually cut my Sky interview after the game yesterday, which I was disappointed about. You know, because what I said, you know, I think I'm bang on the button. It was two reserve teams playing each other. Now the double bank holiday weekend fixtures that you know have been given to us was due to an England camp that didn't come, you know, didn't transpire. No, nobody jumped on a flight to go to an England camp, so it was cancelled really, really early. So, you know, for me, why not bring the season forward a week? You know, we don't have to put ourselves through that physically, and you know, when you hear some of the interviews, obviously, you know, given by some of the England management, it was all around the England team. Now, everybody wants to see a successful England team in the World Cup. But, you know, I think I said it yesterday. I sat in a meeting, you know, a coaches meeting 12 months ago, and it was categorically, you know, there was a chart in front of every coach given to us saying that over the Easter period, there is a huge spike in injuries. It's the period of the season when you're most likely to pick up injuries, which obviously hindered everybody's season. So, you know, what do we do? We stick another one in there 12 months later. You know, I also sit in the same meetings and listen to how, you know, depressed all my players are, and player welfare is really, really important, and how everybody's taking painkillers because the pain's too much for them to play. So, again, you know, you have to sit through that and listen to that. But if there's any consideration taken into that, last week wouldn't have happened. We could have brought the season forward a week as soon as that England camp got cancelled. That would have been common sense. That would have been the smart thing to do. But far too easy and far too much common sense involved in that for that to happen, I think.
Raz, it's Doc here at Salford. Just picking up on that, mate. What sort of input did the clubs have into that, any? Or were they just told this is what's happening?
Clubs, totally, Doc. Clubs have no idea, but coaches, zero, you know, absolutely zero. So, you know, in I think it was February, I believe it was, I go for a meal with Wayne Bennett, fantastic meal, all paid for by the RFL, and all the coaches sat around, and it was it was all going swimmingly, and Wayne stands up and he basically tells us how poor and our competition the Super League is, you know, in terms of intensity compared to the NRL. It's tenfold over there in the NRL compared to over here. So, you know, I made the point and I stood up and I said, look, one of the reasons for that is the Easter period. You know, we back up 72 hours after playing. We then back up the week after. Them three games, them two games in particular, are really low key. You know, what we've done now is slung another one in there. So there's four games where, you know, everybody is under the pump and feeling fatigued, and you're using the higher end numbers of your squad. So surely we're contradicting ourselves there. But you know, again, you feel like I may as well speak to a wall sometimes, I think.
I also think as well, have we gone away from the fact that at the end of the day, however we look at sport, and it's great, you know, we're involved in it at this level, we are supposed to be entertainment as well. Are we forgetting that?
This is what I was fuming about being cut off from Sky yesterday, you know, and I said it jestingly, but I sincerely mean it. You know, I said Rupert Murdoch needs to get on the phone to the RFL and get a refund for yesterday, because when he signed the contract, you know, with us, with the RFL, to broadcast our games, he didn't envisage, you know, showing our reserve team games, and that's what I said yesterday was. So the spectacle yesterday wasn't pretty. It was two very high end squad members going at it, and you know, very much like Monday was.
And does this period, Rads, have any effect later on down the line, do you think?
I don't know. I think, you know, I'm really, really hoping it sort of thickens your squad, obviously, because, you know, we're having to play so many young blokes at the moment, as are Wigan, as are other clubs. As, you know, Darrell's doing it today as well, I think. So you're hoping it sort of thickens your squad later down the line. But ultimately, if it costs one or two of you a bloke, for example, Jacob Miller on Monday has gone for the season. Now, that has a huge knock-on effect on Wakefield's finish to the end of the season. So if it costs you long term, then it does have massive implications. If you can get through it with minor niggles and minor injuries where they're just 2 and 3 weeks, you know, ironically, you might benefit from it.
You mentioned, Lee, obviously, players playing through the pain barrier, playing with needles. It's not something, obviously, you want them to do, but obviously, with the way the fixtures are laid out, you have to do that.
I think, yeah, that's, again, why I'm scratching my head a little bit. It's, you know, Sky Pundit in Phil Clark, basically saying, let's not allow players to play through pain-killing injections. Now, I can categorically tell you, and I'll repeat what I said yesterday, that fixture wouldn't have gone ahead yesterday because I wouldn't have been able to field the team. I couldn't play Conor Bower yesterday, who I named him a 19-man squad because of salary cap. We couldn't get him in due to salary cap. So if them five players don't play, we're taking the field without a side. So ultimately, we're going to get punished for that. So again, it just bears down to that. Let's not kid ourselves. We play a welfare, It doesn't exist.
And obviously, you've got Salford coming up next weekend. What do you do now? Have you got a few days off for the lads now?
We have, yeah. So again, this period has been very, you know, minimal on the field. It's been an awful lot of recovery, an awful lot of video footage. You know, hoping to take the visual in rather than going out there and actually working on it. And this week will probably be no different. So, you know, against a real side that are really in form at the moment. So it'll be a really tough contest for us, but one we're really looking forward to.
Well, Lee, thank you very much for your time this afternoon. Congratulations again on the win yesterday, and the best of luck next week against Salford.
Thank you very much. Cheers, fellas.
And we keep saying this phrase we keep using. I know Scurry loves it a lot. Phil, we're in the entertainment business. He uses that, Scurry, to give tries that shouldn't be given, technically, but we are in the entertainment business, and the games we've seen over the last couple of days have not lived up to that billing, have they?
No, they haven't. And it's like, you know, it's like Radders was just saying before, when he's talking about what was out there on the field. He's got a high-end reserve game, and that's exactly what it is. And the paying public aren't getting their just rewards for the good money that they're putting through the turnstile.
And as you say, not just the paying public, but the viewers at home as well on TV last night. But good performance from Hull as well, in terms of getting over the line after those three straight defeats.
Yeah, I think it was win at all costs last night. You know, both teams in a bit of a predicament. Remember, Wigan haven't won for a while as well. Also, you know, both teams have got, you know, plenty of injuries, but there was still a lot of quality on show from Wigan yesterday. And, you know, you look at that, as you say, you know, we're in a lucky situation where, you know, we get paid a couple of pennies to come and tell people what's happening in this game. You know, we're not spending those pennies to come through the turnstiles. So, you know, we're not being shortchanged, shall we say. And, you know, if you are, I say it all the time, if you go to the theatre and the performance is poor, you don't go back. But that's what we're expecting these fans to do, is to pay their shillings every other week to come through the turnstiles when the product we're putting out on the pitch isn't as good as what it could be.
Well, I guess, Phil, with your coaching hat on, as I mentioned to Lee, it's almost tying one arm behind your back, is it, with these double weekends, where if you've got injuries already, you are left to just throw anyone who's available out there.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, the amount of publicity that's going around about painkillers and everything, that, you know, trying not to use them in the game. And it's big. It's a big talk at the moment with TalkSport and everything, with Lewis Moody going on about painkillers. And then all of a sudden you're putting in a predicament where you've got to have them to get a team out on the field. And I fully understand where Radders is coming from and how justified he is to jab people up just to get the numbers out there. You know, I went through that last year up at Workington, where at times, I think there's twice I put 14 players out because I never had anyone else. And it's only because it's Super League and you've got a massive squad that you can do that. So, and when it's stretched, it's really putting you under pressure.
In terms of playing, how hard is it for the players out there? Obviously, Craig, you're close to many players in Super League at the moment with your other role in the sport. But do they come to you with concerns that they're playing too many games in too short a period of time?
Look, I think as a player, you just want to play, don't you? And at the end of the day, if you're not playing, you're getting put through the paces on the training field. And, you know, as a player, as a 9-year-old, 10-year-old, whenever you take up this game, you don't take it up to be a trainer, you take it up to play the game. So what you do is you bandage yourself up and you go out there. These players would do that week in and week out, but I think sometimes, just because of the brutality of this sport, you know, we watch it, and that's part of the entertainment for the fans, how physical it is. And, you know, they just put their hand up and it's just a norm. Yeah, we'll play. We'll go out there and play. But I think sometimes we've got to take, or not sometimes, all the time, we've got to take that decision away for them and look at the longevity of their careers. And also, as again, I keep re-alluding to, the product that's out there. And don't put them in that situation in the first place, because if the players, and certainly over here, because the players don't have a union, certainly that has the power that the players have in Australia. That's something that they massively need, where we get somebody who can say, look, I'm looking out for these players, and we'll go head to head with the rugby league. Because at the end of the day, Rich, however you sum it up, without these 26 guys who start the game and the rest of the guys training, we don't have a product. There is nothing to come and watch. So we need them to be looked after better than they are at the minute.
Is that going to take, you know, talking about unions, and this has been a point brought up over the last week or so, is it going to take probably a player at the towards the end of their career, or a recently retired player, to stand up and sort this out for the good of everyone else?
Well, we keep talking about the unions and what have you, but what we've got to remember as well is that we threw it out there not so long back when we had League 13. You know, John Wilkin was behind that, and with Bernie Benbauer and Ernie Benbauer, and it never, the players never bought into it. Not all players bought into it. So there's got to be a bit of onus on the players here as well, that if we're going to put a union together here, then there's got to be some ownership of that union throughout the Super League, throughout the Championship One, of players saying, OK, enough's enough, we need to have a say in this. And it's just not happening at the moment, but we do need it.
If it's good, we'll tell you. If it's rubbish, we'll tell you. This is Radio Yorkshire, the only place for honest opinions on the greatest game.
So let's head somewhere else. First, that somewhere else being the John Smith Stadium, which is sans big telly. Today it's not working. But what is working is Matt Horton. I hope he is anyway. Matt, how are you?
Hello, Rich. Good afternoon. Welcome to a sunny Huddersfield.
Well, the sun shines on Huddersfield now in the Premier League. You do realise that, don't you?
I was just saying to a couple of colleagues earlier, enjoy this press room while you see it, because it sure as hell won't be like this come August, because they're going to have to do a lot of work to bring the ground up to scratch for the demands of Premier League media facilities.
Indeed, the worldwide interest in Premier League football, of course, which sadly there's not quite as much worldwide interest in Huddersfield versus Warrington tonight. Although, in fairness, having said that, there's been plenty of interest in this fixture this week, mainly by coaches not involved, Antonio Smith as well, of course.
And mainly by a lot of coaches being unhappy that they didn't play on Monday. They were due to host St Helens here on Monday afternoon, but came up with some cock and bull story about no stewards, and then played the player welfare card and said, oh, we don't want to play twice in a weekend because we're rubbish and we're out of the Challenge Cup. Oh, we'll play a week on Friday instead.
So apart from that.
No, but it's Warrington come here on the back of two kickings. That's a fair way to put it. They got slapped against Leeds on the Friday. Then Salford, one of the best teams in the comp, turned up at the Halliwell Johns on Monday and just did a complete number on them. And they lost by 38 points to 12, and it was a fair reflection of the game.
Well, what is happening with Warrington? I thought they'd started to turn things around, but it seems that the last two results are not the case.
They started well at Leeds the other Friday, and then the wheels just came crashing off, and then all of a sudden it was February, March Warrington, to put it to phrase it quite nicely, where they just looked a bit clueless. They didn't really know what they were doing, and they just, I don't know. There was just like a switch had flicked somewhere, Rich, and it was just back to the dark old days of February and March, and I couldn't put a finger on it, and they need to snap out of it quickly, because A, they're going to end up outside the top eight, and B, it's going to be middle eights and potential trips to Toulouse and wherever else you want to go, London, Hull KR. Oh, that thought doesn't even thrill me at all.
Well, as long as they turn up to the right Hull stadium as opposed to people who went to see that gig last night.
That was quite funny last night.
It was quite funny, yes. Yeah. That's made it onto the Sport on Sunday podcast.
I was at the Etihad last night for the turn. At the Etihad last night, had a very good evening there as well, and we were keeping an eye on Twitter and laughing at everybody going to the Carecom Stadium instead of Carecom Craven Park. Wow. Easy mistake to make.
It is an easy mistake. For those who are not aware, I think it's a very easy mistake and a bit of a foolish one from the good people at Carecom, but there you go. Leeds on Friday night against Lee. Obviously, it wasn't on TV, which sounds like it was a good thing because apparently the game was rubbish. What was it like?
It was rubbish. Yeah. And we'll just leave it. Well, it was two tired teams struggling with a referee who was intent on refereeing like the players had a 10-day break. There was no leniency and no like interpretation from the official on Friday night. All it needed was a little bit of common sense, knowing the players were a bit tired and things might be a little bit slower, and it needed the referee to get in on the act, and he didn't.
Oh, well. Not a great result for Lee, but for Leeds, I guess it's just another 2 points on the board, isn't it?
Yeah, it was job done for Leeds on Friday night. It was all about winning, wasn't it? And winning they did. They wanted to bounce back from the defeat at the Select Security Stadium last Monday, and they did that. But I wouldn't say they did it in style. They did it as a job done, an effective team performance. They could have probably won by more, Leeds, but two tries at the end of each half probably skewed the scoreline a little bit in Lee's favour. But Leeds, it was just a case of job done, and now it's almost like a pre-season for them, isn't it, before they go to the home of rugby league next Saturday night.
Next Saturday night, live on Radio Yorkshire. Let me a bump up that two of the informed teams in Super Bowl.
Well, let's see what happens to Wakefield today, when now they've lost those three players.
We will find out. What did you make of the whole two games of the weekend? I missed it all because I was obviously at the Summer Bash and took the weekend
living
off.
It up in Blackpool, weren't you?
Yeah, so I kind of missed all the excitement. I've got to say, you know, as a spectator at the Magic Weekend and the Summer Bash, I was shattered after two weekends signing up rugby league.
I was ruined by Monday night. I ended up driving to Warrington on Monday. I tried to convince Mr. Wilson that it was good for him to drive on Monday, but he played a card on me, and I ended up driving. So it was just a long Blackpool, especially given what I was doing there last week, was just a really, really long weekend, and the legs were hurting come Monday night.
But, you know, if it's hard work on us mentally, it's even harder work on them mentally and physically, of course.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And then for the England manager to come out and say we should be embracing these double weekends, the guy needs to give his head a shake. I know you're going to be talking to someone about that in a minute, but you can tell he's not playing anymore, because it's just the effect on the coaches, on the players. They were just absolutely drained on Friday night, and I know these two teams today, well, one of these teams today has had an extra 48 hours between the games, but they just can't carry on. Easter, maybe tradition, yeah. I'm an advocate of scrapping it at Easter. I don't think we should do it at Easter.
You can have a bank holiday fixture on Good Friday and a bank holiday fixture on the bank holiday Monday in May if you want, don't you? It's no difference. You're going to get a bigger crowd. But it just doesn't make any... The problem is, It's not as if we haven't been saying since the start of the season that this is going to be a bad thing. It's not as if everyone's jumped on the bandwagon in the last week.
What they should do at Easter, Rich, is they should have a game Friday, a game Thursday, two games Friday, game Saturday, game Sunday, game Monday, and make a really big weekend of it and try and generate the crowds through the gates and things like that. But they're not doing it, are they? And for these guys, especially in these modern days, and lest we forget, because my dearly departed grandfather would say to me, well, lad, said, I remember they used to play Friday, Saturday and Monday when I were a lad. So, I don't know.